Off the ball, GAA.
It just shows that if you're not fully on it in these games, you're going to get beaten. And unfortunately for us today, I only heard that Donegal got bet. We came a cropper like Donegal, like Meath, like everybody else.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Thurs's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we will look ahead to our live Champions Cup semi-final commentary between Leinster and Toulon. Brian O'Driscoll gives his thoughts on Leinster centre and All Black Rico Ioane, and Munster tie down a long-time servant for another year. But first today, Andy Dunn will be alongside Cuan O'Flaherty at the Aviva Stadium for live commentary of Leinster versus Toulon this coming Saturday, May 2nd at 3 o'clock. You'll be able to hear live commentary of that game on Off the Ball Saturday from 1 on the Go Loud app and on News Talk. And ahead of the game, Leinster and Ireland legend Brian O'Driscoll joined Owen Sheehan, and he says that he is nervous for his old side ahead of the weekend's big game.
And then the ongoing saga with regards to the props is something that Toulon are going to be very aware of going into this weekend.
Yeah, I think they're going to come after Leinster. They're going to come after the scrum. Even if you think about it, so a player like Max Deegan, who's been very effective coming off the bench, is also suspended. So straight away, now you're delving deeper and deeper. I'm not lacking confidence with it, but it feels like it's such a different journey to a semi-final for this Leinster team. They've been more often than not one of the best teams, the top two teams in the competition the last 4 or 5 years, and then fallen at this hurdle. Whereas they've come into this with much smaller expectation by the neutral, by people watching from afar. So yeah, maybe it's, you know, that there's a nervousness around Leinster fans. Certainly there's a nervousness around me as an ex-player. But maybe that expectation just dampens things a little bit and keeps us in check rather than, you know, immediately looking ahead to Bilbao. This will be a grind against Toulon. As I said, they're coming across to try and build their new legacy, the new, you know, new rebuild of Toulon and to get back into, you know, European honours of finals and success again. So I think, you know, Leinster are going to have to produce one of their better displays even to find their way into the final.
And with Toulon coming to town, O'Driscoll thinks that their attack might not be as dangerous as what Northampton Saints were last season.
I also think that, and I hope I don't eat my words, but I just don't think that the firing attack of Toulon has the same breaking capacity as Northampton Saints. I watched Saints. They did a poor year in the Prem last year, but the year before, their attack under Sam Vesti is one of the best in the league. They have such a clear picture of what they're trying to do. So maybe only in hindsight are we able to say this, that, well, you didn't talk about that before the semi-final last year. They've always been a great threat from an attacking point of view under Sam Vesti. I'm just not sure that this Toulon team has that know-how, that IQ to be able to really pull it apart. I think they're going to come after Leinster a different way of trying to maraud it, you know, over the top of them and be physical and uncompromising and bash them. And then hopefully some of their power players, and you've got to remember Sinzel and Brex in the centres are a couple of big lumps as well, that they will, you know, there'll be a lot of Route 1 stuff. And then added opportunity of a little bit of finesse thrown in there rather than the other way around. Whereas I think with Northampton, they don't have a big, huge physical pack. So they knew they had to think their way around beating Leinster, which they did so incredibly well. I think it'll be a different type of game plan from Toulon, you know, a bit of meat and two veg stuff.
Rico Ioane is in the last few months of his Leinster career, and O'Driscoll says that his defensive work will be tested this coming weekend. Perhaps the best place for the All Black is on the wing.
But does he catapult himself ahead of Rico? I'm not entirely sure. You have to remember as well, James Lowe, how much trouble he had with the more aggressive defensive system that Leinster imposed when he arrived in. And you have to remember, that's nothing on the level of aggression that this blitz defence actually requires. So if you're looking at the, you know, Rico Ioane's had to fast track an understanding as to what is warranted from him, firstly as a 13 where he was predominantly played, but then it's almost further in, it's more challenging the further out you go in a blitz defence to make the right read, to see the right man, and ultimately Rico Ioane is just defending the next man in outside of Gary Ringrose if he's playing 13. So I think you definitely have to now, based on form in the last 4 or 5 games, you have to play Rico Ioane on the wing if Gary and Jamie Osborne are going to be playing in the centres.
Oh, but what about Robbie Henshaw? Like, is there?
I think Jamie Osborne's, you know, played too well to drop it.
And in the other semi-final between Bordeaux Begla and Bath, there is an expectation that Sunday's game could be a cracker.
Is there a chance that Bordeaux Bath is the rugby equivalent of Paris Saint-Germain Bayern Munich, and it's just one of the all-time great games?
Let's hope so. Well, on paper, just if you look at the style and particularly the two number 10s, you've got, you know, excitement personified. I think Ian Jalibert is one of the informed players in Europe at the moment, having you know, watched him on multiple occasions, obviously not just in the Six Nations, but watching Bordeaux a little bit more closely. He's playing with hugely high confidence and belief. That's from his players, that they're reacting so well to his left field plays around his quick taps and his short lines, and there's almost an anticipation that he's going to do something majestic, so get with him very quickly. And then, you know, the same could be said about Finn Russell, who has a serious bag of tricks himself, but yet has a great platform in his pack as well. You know, other than Will Stewart, I'm pretty sure they're playing with a relatively full deck. And you know, they'll get plenty of opportunities. They've got some very, very exciting backs. If you think about who's not going to make their 23, there's going to be, you know, a number of internationals that won't even get into that you know, final match day squad. So it has on paper the capacity to be one for the ages, but as we well know, when we have an anticipation and an expectation for that, it never ever actually follows. Yeah. It never ever does. It'll be like a damp squib. It would be like a kick fest or something that's hugely disappointing, or there'll be rain, or there'll be something that you could never have wanted or wished for. It's sometimes when you're not expecting a huge amount that's when it delivers.
Talk to us then about Ulster's chances on Saturday against Exeter. A lot of us would have watched, for the last time anyway, Exeter in action would have been against Munster, and that unbelievable first half they put in against them.
And if you want to hear that back in full, or to not miss any of our rugby coverage, you can do so now in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Jack O'Donoghue will remain at Munster for another season after agreeing a 1-year contract extension at the province. The 32-year-old, who has played 234 times for Munster since his debut in 2014, is the latest first-team regular to be retained for next season after contracts for Calvin Nash and Edwin Adogbo were confirmed last week. O'Donoghue, who was the youngest Munster player to hit 200 appearances back in 2024, has been regular standing captain throughout the years, while he was named the province's player of the year in 2021-22. The Waterford native has also won 2 Ireland caps, making his debut against Canada back in 2016. A versatile back row, O'Donoghue has continued to be a regular under head coach Clayton McMillan this season, scoring 3 tries in 17 appearances. And Wales great George North announced his retirement from professional rugby yesterday. North, who turned 34 earlier this month, called time on his international career in 2024, having won 121 caps and scored 47 tries for his country. He helped Wales win 4 Six Nations titles and 2 Grand Slams. The wing or centre also toured with the British and Irish Lions in 2013 and 2017, playing 3 tests and scoring 2 tries. Former Scarlets, Northampton Saints and Ospreys player North has spent the last 2 seasons playing for French second tier side Provence. North exploded onto the test scene as an 18-year-old, scoring twice on debut against world champion South Africa in 2010 as Wales' youngest ever try scorer. He would go on to become Wales' most third capped men's player, behind Alwyn Jones and Gethin Jenkins, while only Shane Williams has scored more tries for his country. That's about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back at more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.